We're back to the Neil Haley Show on the Author's Corner segment. I'm excited to welcome the program author Joe Hagan, author of Sticky Fingers. Joe, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
All right, so tell me your background, Joe, for our listeners out there. I know you write for the Rolling Stone and the reasoning of writing the book.
Okay, well, you know, I'm a veteran journalist. I've been writing for about 20 years in different magazines. And about 5 or 6 years ago, Jan Wenner, who founded Rolling Stone magazine, the editor and publisher, asked me if I'd write his biography. I'd written a few pieces for Rolling Stone that he enjoyed. And, you know, I worked it out with him that I could write an independent book about him. And I'd get full access to him and his archive of amazing materials and even some of the rock stars that are sort of in his universe, which I, you know, many of whom I interviewed. So I spent 4 years kind of exploring his history and the history of the rock and roll and Rolling Stone and, you know, ended up with this book, Sticky Fingers. It's like a kind of a tour through the last 5 decades of popular culture, kind of through the story of this man and his kind of ambition and, you know, his circle of his universe of famous friends.
So how did Rolling Stone, in your opinion, shape America in so many ways, especially pop culture?
Well, so deeply in a lot of ways, because really he started out in late 60s San Francisco, Summer of Love, you know, era, and this whole rock and roll renaissance. And what he recognized really from the start was that rock and roll was the first expression of power of his generation. This was not just any generation, it's the baby boom generation, right? It's the biggest, richest, most educated generation really the world had ever seen. And rock and roll was their first, you know, expression. And so he follows that. He captures it in a magazine. It was a newspaper at the beginning. And he helps shape what it's going to mean to be a rock star and what it's going to look like. And with his, you know, Annie Leibovitz started at Rolling Stone magazine. She helps shape the image making of rock. And they basically reinvent celebrity for the new era around youth culture, which was a kind of a new thing, you know, at the time. And they used to call it a youthquake. And it was all these new rock and roll kids. And they're not just kids anymore. Eventually, by the 70s, they're taking over. They're taking over in politics and in Hollywood. And Jan Wenner in Rolling Stone followed that. You know, it was like a kind of a journey of this whole generation as they took over the world until you get to Bill Clinton in the White House, who was one of their own, you know.
And do you think that Rolling Stone highlighted celebrities in a better way than some of the other journalists in the media, and that made the magazine popular
as well?
Well,
sure. I mean, they also reinvented journalism around their own image. You know, this. I mean, at Rolling Stone and this sort of rock and roll youth boom. I mean, that's when the new journalism came along. You had Hunter S. Thompson, who totally redefined and defined what Rolling Stone meant in the 1970s. You had this kind of wild man who wrote all this sort of comic, irreverent writing about politics and about the drug culture that was coming up at the time. And that was like their new way of, you know, writing about things. They were going to throw off the old shackles of objectivity and make it all about first person and drugs, and it's humorous, and it doesn't take anything seriously, and it's sort of taking the piss out of things. And so this was the new way, and that redefined, you know, what journalism could do, and that gave Rolling Stone a huge reputation in the world of journalism.
So Joe, what I'm hearing, and this is what interests me, is because I interview very interesting people like yourself on a weekly basis from different backgrounds and different things like that. What do you think were, from your research, were the best interviews Rolling Stone has done interviewing celebrities? What would you say, would you rank like some of the best?
Well, the number one interview they ever did was with John Lennon in December 1970. It was published in the first 2 issues of Rolling Stone in 1971. It was a huge interview. And it was John Lennon's essentially exit interview after the Beatles broke up. And Lennon had just been through primal scream therapy, which was like this, you know, allowed him to kind of dig into all of his emotions. And his first solo record was very much the expression of all of this. Well, this interview, it was like his views on what it was like to be in the Beatles. And he was very bitter, very angry. He was attacking all of the other Beatles, and he was defending Yoko Ono, who was in the interview. And, you know, Jan Wenner himself conducted this interview, and it was
wow.
a huge deal. And eventually Jan turned it into an entire book called Lennon Remembers, that John Lennon was very angry that he published this interview as a book because he felt so exposed and vulnerable in this interview. And Jan published it as a book, and Lennon Remembers it was called, but John Lennon himself used to refer to it as Lennon Regrets because, you know, he regretted that this interview, you know, lived on for many years and in many reprints, actually, because he felt bad about how it had damaged his bandmates, especially Paul McCartney, who was very hurt and injured by the interview.
Do you think Jan was disappointed that he got that information out, or was he happy for the magazine? I mean, because, again, we're talking about new type of journalism and how Rolling Stone likes to highlight that celebrity. But this one is pretty heartbreaking for Lennon, for sure, and the Beatles.
Yeah. I think Jan loved it. He was kidding me. It was like a huge controversial thing. It made international news. Everybody was writing about it and talking about it. Listen, he was a magazine publisher. He loved controversy. He loved it when people were talking about him and talking about his magazine. It made his magazine famous and credible, and people wanted to read it, and they started subscribing, and it was a real turning point, actually. You know, on the other hand, he lost a friendship because John Lennon never spoke to him again. And, you know, so there's a Shakespearean element to, like, so many things that ended up happening in Rolling Stone. And that's my book is sort of like a series of these kind of secret histories of all of these different rock star, you know, revelations and relationships.
And that's, I think it's really interesting because it sounds like Jan had formed friendships with a lot of these celebrities, and they trusted him very much. And that Lennon story that you
trusted
shared,
him as far as they could.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, so many of the big rock stars and the way they got into the magazine, whether good, bad, or ill, like, was part of that they were all in the same social world. They were all friends, and in that way they were partners. And these were all kind of like social transactions that took place between Jan and some of his friends. I mean, he loved Mick Jagger. They were pals, and they still are to this day. But they also had ups and downs with each other, and a lot of it had to do with the coverage and how Jan, you know, would exploit Mick Jagger, or Mick Jagger might exploit Jan in some instances. And, you know, it all kind of revolved around the name Rolling Stone, which Rolling Stones, the band, the lawyer for the Rolling Stones, threatened Jan with, it sent a cease and desist letter to him because of the name right at the outset of the magazine.
Yeah.
There was like a trademark tension between Jan and Mick, and it went on for 5 decades, frankly, and you find out all about it in the book. And it sort of defined their relationship. So, yeah, these were partnerships. They were in some cases turned into acrimonious, you know, relationships, but they were all personal. It was a small world, you know?
Well, what I'm hearing from you is, between you and Jan, what kind of journalism do you feel that you have his kind of interview style? As Jan did? Did you learn a lot from him in specific ways?
I write in the book, in the afterword to my book, that my goal was, like, listen, Jan was an incredibly ambitious man who published some of the great writers, Tom Wolfe, Hunter Thompson, and
right.
the reason that he gave them immense freedom to write whatever they wanted to write, and he published it, you know, courageously in many cases. And I felt like I had a high bar to meet, and I went for it. You know, this is the most ambitious book I've ever done. This is the most ambitious journalism I've ever done. And I just took it as far as I could take it. Now, you know, the end result is that Jan Wenner himself is infuriated by the book because I went very deep and made it very rich and textured, and it's a true, true story. Now, you know, powerful guys don't always like true stories, but he was, he's been doing the same thing to other people for years, so I felt like I had to do that, and this book is the result of 4 years of incredible devotion to his story. And But I was inspired by the writers he published.
Well, congrats on the book. We can pick it up in all finer bookstores. Always think about your independent bookstore. I'm a big fan. I'm going to be covering the Miami Book Fair again on this weekend. So I always am a big fan of independent bookstores and what books do and what authors do. Joe, the best place we can find information on you and pick up the book, where else can we find info on you? Where can we go?
Well, you can go to my website, joehagan.net, or just search up Joe Hagan and Sticky Fingers, and you'll find it all over the Internet. It's in all your bookstores, your great independent bookstores, and wherever you are going to find books, you'll find this book because it's everywhere right now.
All right, Joe, thanks for calling. Thanks for coming on the show, man, and take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.